and Condon.
Ken Miller. Trent Condon. Miller and Condon on 1460 KXNO. And now on 106.3 FM.
All right, good morning, everybody, and welcome in to Miller and Condon on a Tuesday. It's Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO, 106.3 FM. Trent Condon and Ken Miller, we're with you up until noon. We appreciate you spending some of your morning here with us as we talk sports with you. The BMW of Des Moines guest list Tuesday means we dip our toe into the NFL waters. We will start at the bottom of the first hour with our friend Dave Sinekin, theheadcheese.com, as the Packers maintain, at least for now, their spot at the top of the NFC North, a huge one this weekend. Soldier Field against the Chicago Bears. Dave Sinekin, 10:30. The floundering Kansas City Chiefs will be in the spotlight at 10:45 with our friend Nick Athen. We'll talk Chiefs with Nick, see what's up with that team. Are they waving the white flag? I wouldn't. They've got Patrick Mahomes. I know a lot of folks are, but I certainly think that's a little bit premature. But we'll talk Chiefs at 10:45. Baseball in the spotlight at 11:05. Matt Snyder, CBSSports.com. A phenomenal day again of MLB. Three games on tap here today. And if you want baseball tomorrow, and I certainly do, the White Sox better win because that's the only game that would take place tomorrow. The White Sox and the Astros going at it. That's a 107 first pitch as they make up yesterday's rained out game. Lots to get to. Oh, we haven't even brought up Matt Postens, who will join us at 11:30. He covers the Big 12 for Heartland College Sports. We'll get into the Big 12. Look forward to picking his brain on the Big 12 with Oklahoma State having a terrific year, K-State, Iowa State looming. What's going to happen with the Oklahoma quarterback situation? So Matt Postens will be joining us at 11:30. An unbelievable Monday night football game last night. Lamar Jackson, I think, silencing some of his critics. Where do you want to start? Of course, the John Gruden news is huge, and yes, I think it's only the tip of the iceberg. It's going to get worse for the league before it gets better, because those 650,000 emails that they tried to keep quiet when they released the report on the Washington football team on July the 1st of all times to release it, right? What a new perfect time for a news dump heading into the July 4th long weekend. It's awful. John Gruden needed to go. And this, look, it's way more than one email.
Sure.
Let's not kid ourselves. This is a pattern, folks. This is a pattern for you Raiders fans out there. And look, I'm a John Gruden football knowledge fan. But this is, I mean, it's indefensible. It's just indefensible. And the fact that, and I don't know how much of reporting is on this. I've seen it a couple of places. But I think this is going to be where it really starts focusing. He is exchanging topless emails of the Washington cheerleaders.
Oh, really?
Yes. And that's what this whole thing started about, was the culture inside the Washington football program with Dan Snyder. And they hired a law firm to look into it. And again, they released it on July the 1st, the findings, and didn't find much of anything, surprisingly enough. But now with 650,000 emails, these Washington cheerleaders, and they look at it, and these topless photos, they didn't sit down and pose for them. Mm-hmm. This is hidden camera stuff.
Oh, geez.
So buckle up, because this is only getting started. And so, John Gruden is done. He'll never coach again.
Less than a week after these surface, he's resigned. He was going to be fired. And yet, Daniel Snyder and everything that's happened inside that organization, pretty buttoned up. It shows again, it's better to be the guy
at the top, sure,
writing the checks.
Absolutely.
As opposed to the guy
absolutely
cashing the checks. Because
yep,
we have heard still nothing about Daniel Snyder.
He's an exclusive club, one of 32 NFL owners, with a whole lot of money.
Yes.
But it's going to get worse for him, Trent, in the days, weeks ahead, months. I don't know how long it'll go, but look, somebody wanted this out there. Let's be perfectly clear. Mm-hmm. The New York Times didn't come across these emails. These emails came across the New York Times. So just an unbelievable, incredible, awful story with John Gruden. So we'll see what this does to the Raiders as far as they're going forward.
Spinning their wheels a little bit.
Yeah, you got to think, right? You got to think. Terrible story. and more of it to come. So, the game last night was unbelievable.
I want to go baseball first.
All right, let's do it.
I want to go Dodgers-Giants. I want to start by, you went to bed.
Well, for the eighth inning.
The eighth inning.
Eighth and ninth inning, yeah.
So after Brandon Crawford makes one of the most ridiculous catches.
Trent, it was unbelievable.
At a playoff level.
Yeah.
That was enough for you. You were that
tired. Well, I do have that little R button on my DVR.
And, right,
and
right.
I get tired at that time.
Just how that one can't get you up for another 20 minutes. Because I jumped out of the recliner. It was that good.
I have no idea how he caught the baseball.
I still don't either.
It's their year. It's destiny. And I get such a kick out. Well, I still think the Dodgers are going to win the series.
Right.
It's the same people that, well, I still think the Dodgers are going to win the division.
Uh-huh.
Well, I still think it's only the All-Star break. The Dodgers got they've got 2.5 months left to take their respective place at the top of the division. This just in, next week. Well, I know the Braves are in front, but I still don't think, I know the Giants are in front, but I think the Braves are coming back. It's their year.
It is their year. That's what it feels like. They're going to find a way. They go, the Dodgers, 17-3 the last 20 games. They pick up a game. 17-3.
Right.
The team you're chasing was 16-4.
Yeah.
I think it's a perfect way of putting it. Just it has that feeling. Again, something you can't put a finger on.
No.
You can't put it in an algorithm. You can't put it in your computer and spit it out. There's just something
it's
going
just
there.
It's their year.
That thing was destined for rolling forever in the left center field gap. And Crawford, who's not a spring chicken anymore, dude's 34.
Mm-hmm.
He's never jumped that high in his life.
I don't think he has.
But on that play, at 34 years old.
Perfectly timed. It had to be at the pinnacle of his leap.
His vertical's 34 inches normally, and it was 44 on that.
And he needed all 44 of them.
You can't explain it. That was incredible. And then late in the game, Lux with the shot. And the crowd sound.
Oh,
it just,
my God.
Gone.
It seemed like it.
And it just settles into the glove in deep left field. It was playoff baseball at its finest. Yeah. We talked about this early with the one-game playoffs, but there's something about even these short series, these five-gamers, they're so good. I know ultimately it is not the best way to determine the champion when you play 162 games, these short series, and the one-game playoff, and on and on and on. But the drama that builds when you're playing these, it's so incredibly important. Do you get more randomness? Do you get more flukiness? Do you get the Rays getting beat by a Red Sox team that they were just a lot better than?
No.
Yeah, absolutely. But
is
you also
Kevin
have
Cash going to get any heat?
Well, probably a little bit. It's Tampa.
Yeah.
I mean, MLB
and
Network and the like.
It's a low payroll.
Yeah.
It's a bunch of guys. Who are these guys?
Mm-hmm.
It's tough to watch them during the regular season. Their ballpark absolutely blows. And he gets them there, but just can't get them across the finish line. I don't know. I just wonder if he's going to give the Red Sox credit. Give the Red Sox credit again.
If you do still like the Dodgers, that you were saying that feels like everybody still says, oh, they'll find a way.
Yeah.
Series price right now at Circa Sports.
It's not as big as you would think, or I would think.
The Giants, who have to just win one of the next two.
Right.
Minus 240.
Mm,
you can get the Dodgers at 2-1. Plus 205, in fact.
Yeah.
A little bit better than I certainly would have anticipated
too.
I
thought my minus about $1.80. I would have thought somewhere in that area.
Yeah, probably plus 150 on the Dodgers, something in that range. Brewers now plus 240. And the Braves minus 285.
Brewers can't hit the baseball. I mean, that's been the concern about this team all season long.
Been.
You can throw the hell out of it, but you can't hit it.
Mm-hmm.
And give Jumbo Chuck Peterson bomb. My God, did he get that. That pitch was out of the strike zone. And he just crushed it into the right field. See, he's one of those, you know, we talk about all these former Cubs making an impact. Mm-hmm. Never even dawned on me. What about Jock Peterson?
Wasn't around very long.
No, true, but
a little bit different than Rizzo or Bryant.
Yeah, sure, the core.
Yeah. Brought a world championship to the Cubs.
Sure.
Don't have those warm, fuzzy feelings about
Although he did
Jock
have a
Peterson.
Couple of moments as a Cub
he did.
Early in the season.
He did.
But yeah, it's a good point, Trent. It's not Rizzo, it's not Bryant, it's not Schwarber. Yeah. It's not the A-listers, if you will, the guys that'll never be forgotten in the Windy City.
But it was that game late, and it was also, it did actually end at a decent time. That's why I was giving you a hard time about it, because it wasn't one of these games that, you know, started at 9:30.
Well, it
and
had
get
to
over.
Be 11:30.
Yeah, it was about that, yeah. Which is fine, you know, I still got another
I think it was
5
or 10
bedtime.
To 11, I just, you know, had enough. So I hit the R button and watched it this morning.
The NFL game, though, 22-9.
Trent's 22-3 in the second half. Was it in the fourth quarter? 22-3? I think it was. Early.
He got a ticket, 46.5, under, cruise in here, and here comes Lamar. I mean, is this a coming out party for him, though, as a thrower? He's won an MVP.
Yeah.
He's been at the level. I don't think ultimately it changes, because once they get to the playoffs, he's got to play
well. That's just it. That's the knock now.
He could play that level the rest of the year, but until we get to January, it ultimately doesn't matter for him. It feels like kind of the conversation is what it is, but a performance like that, I think open up a few more eyes. Yeah. He was so good, and there were issues. Got running backs going the wrong way, trying to fumble the ball inside the 5-yard line on that zone read play where, no, the running back's trying to take it. No, I want to keep it. Absolute. It felt like disaster after disaster was almost there. And Mark Andrews, that dude.
Trent, you know what?
He's not Kelsey.
No, but when we talk about the tight ends in the game, we got to start including him.
Yes. He's a tick below
Waller and Kittle. And certainly Kelsey, but man, oh man. And
but he's fourth on the list.
I think so, too.
He's maybe his own tier. You got that top three. When those guys are right and healthy, those are the best three. Fourth alone is Andrews, and then start making your arguments for the rest of the guys because he's at his own level. He was so good. The route running that he has, just that little bit of wiggle. That touchdown.
And the two-point conversion,
too.
Wow.
Yeah. Able to get separation against the safety, against linebacker. It doesn't matter. Really, really kind of a coming-out game for him. And I needed it. He helped me win a fantasy game last night.
Calais Campbell's block. I mean, how big was that, right? And Blankenship.
Is it over for him?
No. For who? For Blankenship?
For Rodrigo?
Well, he's hurt. They sent the punter on.
They did.
Do you remember that?
Yes.
To kick a 48-yarder. And one of the Ravens jumped, moved it 5 yards closer, and Blankenship came on and made the kick, then made another one, but then missed, or was blocked, rather. And, of course, at the end of the game, missed. Boy, kickers had a tough week in the NFL.
Another.
Holy crap.
Do you like that extra points matter again?
Yeah, I do, because it was
it,
you know, why
drama.
Bother? It does.
Yeah.
At first, I thought, but I know why they do it. It's no longer automatic. And then it brings in the two-point conversion. It makes coaches think a little bit as the game unfolds, if they're trying to chase, and when do you start to chase, and what are the analytics, which I don't like, but it's part of it. You know, when does it say that you should be doing that? So, yeah, it was fun. It was a great, and I didn't think it was going to be much of a game. I really didn't.
Yeah.
I thought that Baltimore's going to crush them. I'm just not sold on that Colts. Carson Wentz.
He was good last night.
He was better, yeah.
He was better, yes, absolutely. And think of the stretch here, the first five, and it looked like for a while the Colts were going to find a way, and I was already trying to find future tickets on them to win the AFC South. That's the reason I was going that direction. So this is how they open up. Seahawks, Rams, Titans, Dolphins, who they won, and then the Ravens. It gets a lot easier from here. They get the Texans next week. They get the 49ers, who
have nobody a quarterback.
Right. Kind of a mess.
Right. Trey Lance is hurt now.
Titans, terrible defense.
Well, that's for the division.
Yes.
I mean, the two games that they'll play.
Jets and then the Jaguars. It's not a stretch that all of a sudden this Colts team rips off 4 out of 5 at the very least.
Yeah.
And they're right there to win the division.
And Circa's got to have the Titans' as favorite to win that division, I would think, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
So, yeah.
For sure. At this point, anyways.
Right. Yeah. And I don't think it's huge by any means. I'll see if I can find those at Circa as they're bringing out their limited menu. Still a couple of weeks away from the full launch.
Yeah, so they're going to kind of hold off until they get to the state, right? Which is the first week in November that they're actually going to be in state.
Yeah, I just see the championship yes-nos right now.
Gotcha.
I don't see any divisions up at the Circa Sports app. But yeah, it's a team that I'm circling right now, a Colts future. And heading that route. That's where we are today. Lamar making the plays. Oof. Fun game last night.
It was. And we got college football tonight.
Yes, we do.
I'm going to watch some of it. This is an important game in the belt.
It is.
And
especially
these are
if you
two
got
decent
a
teams.
Appy State future, as
oh,
I told
you?
People to do this summer. Yeah, 5-1.
Okay.
Appy State.
And they're a slight favorite, right?
Laid 4.5.
Yeah.
Think a lot of people, Louisiana, okay, last year, really good. Return a lot of players, of course, quarterbacks back.
Levi Lewis, yeah.
Everybody except for the running back spot, one of those guys is playing the NFL right now, is back on that squad. But they've been disappointing, especially defensively this year, the Raging Cajuns have been. I think I'll be on the Appy State side, but we'll make some picks a little bit later.
Well,
their
only loss is the week one loss against Texas, right?
Yeah.
And a lot of folks liked thought that, you know, mm-hmm. Texas is up against it. Look what happened last year when they came to Ames.
Right.
I think it's got a chance to be a good game. Well, I hope the baseball's good tonight.
Right.
Because, sadly, you know, these games are starting to become fewer and fewer and fewer. It's such a special month, you March folks out there. Just admit it. You're wrong.
There's more depth and breadth in October.
That's just it, right? Oh, and by the way, happy opening day.
Opening day.
It's the NHL opening. Trent.
They still play hockey?
Trent, they haven't played hockey. It's been 2 months. We haven't seen the NHL all of August and all of September. Thank God it's finally back.
Jets play tonight?
Tomorrow. Yeah.
Who's the lid lifter for your Jets?
They're in Anaheim.
In Anaheim.
Yeah, taking on the Ducks. But I'm actually curious to see, because ESPN has it.
They do.
TNT has it. And they both spent a lot of money on their talent. I think they made a horrible mistake with Wayne Gretzky.
Oh, really?
He is as vanilla as vanilla can be.
Kind of like Joe Montana, how bad
yes,
he was?
Yes, I remember. You know what? Bang. That is excellent. Montana, one of the best to ever play his position.
As smart of a guy as you're going to
absolutely.
Find at that spot.
99, the smartest guy you will ever find at that spot was what's behind the net. He's awful on TV. Terrible on TV. We'll see. I want to talk about Iowa State, who's having their media day today, and so is Iowa. So we'll get Michael Swain, our buddy, in here tomorrow. Seems like it's been forever since we spoke to him.
5 weeks do that.
Yeah,
it
absolutely does that. So I think this is a real tricky spot for the Clones on Saturday night.
You do.
I do.
I like Kansas State coming into the year, mm-hmm. as you did. Mm-hmm. In fact, maybe this
but
might
I
have
liked
been...
Iowa State better.
Yeah, oh yeah. I think this actually might have been one of the L's that I put there when we did our W and L of the season. I don't like this K-State team as much. Defense starting to show some cracks.
Mm-hmm.
Skylar Thompson is the difference,
oh,
as
sure.
we know.
Yeah. They got some dudes. They've got some guys.
You're more concerned about this game, maybe even than I am.
It's just Manhattan. They don't win there.
That's true. This is a different program, though.
Sure.
Than many of those. And I think a different Kansas State program in a lot of ways.
I like Kleiman. I think Kleiman's going to be the right guy for that gig.
Yeah. Can they win at the heights that they did before?
Yeah.
That's a tall task.
Here's my concern, and maybe it's a me thing. I don't know enough about Iowa State. I don't know if they're good or not.
Right.
I thought they were going to go to the college football playoff. Now, since Iowa is, do I get half a point?
No.
No, I don't get half a point.
No.
Okay, so they beat Nevada. I mean, UNLV.
Mm-hmm.
They beat Kansas. Everybody's beating Kansas.
Except South Dakota.
Okay. They struggled against UNI, whose quarterback entered the transfer portal yesterday.
Right.
What do you make of this Clone team?
You're right. We don't know. We think we know, but you don't
I certainly
know.
Thought we knew. Go back to August.
Most everybody returning.
Most everybody, absolutely. We're going to kill Iowa.
Yes.
Matt Campbell's finally going to get past Ferentz.
Uh-huh. And he's still got that.
Wait till you see him in week one. They're going to come out. They're going to be hair on fire. They're going to kill the Panthers. This thing could get ugly.
And take absolutely nothing away from the Kansas State-Iowa State game a year ago. Because Kansas State was decimated.
Yeah, you know, that's what I'm starting to really realize, just how you almost have to draw a line through 2020.
Sure.
Don't you?
Yeah. There was so much randomness
absolutely.
To it. Absolutely. Look at Michigan. In fact, if Michigan would have played those final two games against Iowa
mm-hmm.
and against Ohio State, they would have got beat by 30 by Iowa,
absolutely.
By 50 by Ohio State, and Jim Harbaugh wouldn't be the coach.
Probably not.
If those two games played out in that fashion,
uh-huh.
there is no way you can bring Harbaugh back. And here they are.
Yeah.
Undefeated. Everything's still in front of them.
Mm-hmm.
Finding ways to win football games. Doing things that Jim Harbaugh teams, at least the last couple of years, have not done. Now, they have their own limitations. They have their own problems. But you're right. You look across college football and the landscape from a year ago. Alabama, that team might be the best college football team we have ever seen.
Well, Nick Saban, if you recall, said that was his best team.
Saban said that.
Saban,
a guy that doesn't exactly throw a praise
yes.
like it's a dime a dozen.
Right.
A guy that keeps it pretty close to the vest.
Uh-huh.
And he was willing to say that. But you just don't know because of the goofiness. They played an SEC schedule. They played
mm-hmm.
everybody
mm-hmm.
against the SEC. That's what their schedule was until the college football playoff. And then the way that they dominated in the playoff. It's wild to think about when you look back upon it, what it was, and how history is going to remember 2020.
From a sports perspective.
Right.
Yeah. Especially college football. I mean, especially MLB too. Look, it was a truncated season.
8 teams in each league made the playoffs.
Which was fun.
It was fun. Unless your team gets swept 2-0 by these stupid Astros.
Yeah, I'm with you. Boy, those stupid Astros. It's not going to be Dodgers aren't getting there. What if it's Astros-Dodgers again?
Yeah.
How good would that be?
We might get Astros against the Red Sox. There's a little bad blood also brewing there, though the Red Sox also had their own cheating issues.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of funny how that one just kind of skirted away, isn't it?
It was kind of overshadowed.
Yeah.
No doubt about that. So you came bouncing in here this morning, and you and your buddies are getting your tickets for, or not your tickets, right? Your hotel rooms for Indianapolis, mm-hmm. and you should. Because, man, oh, man, at this point, I mean, they look like, I hate to say a lock to get there,
sure.
but it's pretty darn close. And then you jumped on your phone and you're looking at flights.
Yes.
Trent, $193 Des Moines to Indianapolis return?
Yes.
What are Hawk fans waiting for?
It's a great question. So I just looked. I'm not going to fly. I'm going to be driving. But just was interested to see what it was going to be.
And this isn't 6 a.m. and come back at 11:30 at night.
No, this is actually leave after work on Friday, get to Indianapolis by 10 o'clock, and then you get the first flight out the next morning.
I thought you said 9:30.
That's when you'd arrive back.
Oh, you're right. So it is an early flight back.
Still,
yeah.
Party all night after a championship, figure out those plans for the college football playoff.
Party all night.
Yeah, we know better than that. You might be sleeping in the press box. $191 though, right?
That's
now you can
incredible.
Get to Indianapolis, leave Friday, back on Sunday,
uh-huh.
and you can make that.
So what's the thought process? Don't want to jinx it,
right? There's always
thing,
that
they're going to lose to Purdue. Minnesota's mm-hmm. going to pick them off,
and this Purdue game scares the crap out of me.
I don't see it.
Have you watched Iowa Purdue the last 4 years?
I have. Yes.
I know you have. So all of a sudden,
that's not a good roster, and this defense for the Hawkeyes, I maybe throw this word around too much. It starts with an E. They're elite.
They are. But it's still Purdue, the team that beat them last year.
Xander Horvath won't play.
They still got David Bell?
Uh-huh.
He still plays.
Yeah. Phil Parker still coaches.
Uh-huh. And he has had circles run around him the last 4 years by Brohm.
Mm-hmm.
Brohm's staff has put together a great game plan every single time. What they do and what Iowa does, it has not been a very good marriage for the Hawkeyes.
So if this wasn't your fear factor about your squad, you still would worry about this game? If this was just you and Bama Bob and I are talking on Friday, and we don't follow the Hawks, we don't care about them, and this is one of our games, would you think you would have that?
It's number two, Ole Miss. You got letdown spot. You got an environment that's not going to be the same as the week before. You got a team that can throw the ball and have done
it effectively. Still sold out, though, but I get the environment.
Yes.
It means it's sold out, but still.
Yeah, it's not going to be.
Well, it'll be tough to match that.
Yeah,
right.
You just can't.
Yeah.
That was a once-in-a-lifetime kind of crowd. That's how good it was
going
to be.
Well, you were there, and you've been to 150 of them. That tops your list.
Yes, yeah, it was that good. It feels like there's a confluence of events here that this thing could be sticky at the very least. Riley Moss, not on the depth chart.
Yeah, so we'll find out today, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you know what? I got the depth chart. I never even noticed that. He's not listed?
I heard that last night. I didn't see it myself.
I've got it right in front of me. He's not listed.
Yeah, not listed.
Nope.
All right. So now you're going with the backup. They don't flip. It's not like Hankins is going to be following David Bell around the field because that's not what Iowa defense does.
Nope.
Just feels like there's a lot of things that
Terry
can
Roberts
be
listed as the starter. And he's good.
How about Plummer this year? You know his numbers. Completing 70% of his passes. 7 touchdowns.
But how many games has he played? Because I watched O'Connell play the last one.
Right, and O'Connell is not very good.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and maybe famous last words. Jack Plummer, though, if he's healthy, he's right. That's a scary proposition, too.
Yeah, Purdue quarterbacks get hurt a lot.
Yeah, what is up with
that? I don't
know,
but seemingly they do.
Yeah.
Huh.
Because Plummer's the kid from Arizona, right?
I'm not sure where
I think
from.
Did he make his first start against Iowa a couple years back, 2 years back, something
maybe.
Like that? But they just feel like they're kind of a dime a dozen quarterbacks, and they just throw a bunch out there.
Mm-hmm.
Plummer's been the better, certainly, of the two between him and O'Connell this year.
And they're coming off a bye.
They are.
So
extra time to prepare.
Yeah.
Even more time for Brohm to scheme.
Yeah, I still don't see it.
So you're concerned about Iowa State at K-State?
Well, I just don't know Iowa State.
Yeah.
I just don't know Iowa State. I mean, they got some dudes, clearly. And Kohler's healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And Breece Hall is healthy. And so they should be fine, but I don't know. I mean, they look really fine against UNLV in Kansas.
Well, the two teams they played with a pulse that are at the higher levels of the sport.
Pick them up. No, I think Baylor's good.
I think so, too.
Yeah, I think Baylor's good.
And they lost
that
game.
I know Iowa is.
And they lost that game.
Right, that's what I mean.
So if we put K-State in that category, because they're better than UNLV, Kansas, and UNI.
Sure.
Maybe you're onto something.
Beat Stanford. Stanford beat Oregon. Yeah.
Transitive properties over here.
We'll talk NFL next. Dave Sinekin is the headcheese.com. Nick Athan, primetimesports.com. We will do those two teams today. And then baseball conversation with Matt Snyder. Big 12 conversation with Matt Postens. It's Miller and Condon. We're on 1460 KXNO 106.
1-800-BETS-OFF.
If you have any. Back to Miller and Condon on 1460 KXNO and 106.3 FM.
Hi, Miller and Condon. Welcome back. 1460 KXNO, 106.3 FM. Nick Athan on the floundering Kansas City Chiefs. Coming up here in about 10 minutes.
You love rubbing that in.
Well, look, anybody knows floundering, it's me. I cheer for the Broncos.
Oh, yeah. Wham, wham.
Let's get to Dave Sinekin. The headcheese.com. His Packers are on a roll. Dave, good to talk to you, as always. Before we get into that, your son Dylan looks like a young Quentin Nelson. I mean, my God, I feel bad for those kids he's going up against. Brag about your son for a minute, because boy, oh boy, he looks like he could be a player.
Yeah, thanks, Ken. Yeah, he's a junior, kind of came on things late, kept growing and eating and getting pretty big. And I credit his sixth grade teacher who told him to go out for high school football, which he did in ninth grade. He's a junior now, and he's up to about 6'1", 280, and he's a strong kid. And he's playing left guard, more of a T.J. Lang for me.
Okay.
Backer roots, yeah. Wearing number 70 like T.J. Lang. But they're having some success. They're 5-1 and ranked in the top 10. And he seems to be getting better and better. So it's been a lot of fun. And we post his highlights every week and just having a good time with it. And hopefully we got a big matchup with another top 10 team at home Friday night. So we'll hope for good things.
Absolutely. Well, we'll hope that his phone starts ringing or emails start coming in with schools that might be interested in your son. That's quite a story. Proud father moment for you, Dave Sinekin. Good for you. So let's get to your Packers. We got to start with Mason Crosby, right? I mean, an unbelievable career. Dave, I think I can speak for a lot of NFL fans. We've never seen anything like the end of that game, Dave. Wow.
I think for the first time in my life, I could not watch the last kick. I literally left my family room, went across the house, waited about 90 seconds, walked back to my family room and saw that the Giants-Cowboys game was on and realized he must have made it, otherwise they'd still be playing. So that's where I was. So I can't imagine where his head was. After making three field goals earlier in the game, there is a problem with that unit for some reason. We saw the Steelers probably did block a field goal the week before. Matt LaFleur was quick to point out, look at the tape, and we can't put this all on Crosby. There's some issues up front. It's just the latest in serious special teams gaffes that this organization's had to deal with for years. They can't seem to get special teams right. And so the wind, the doinked extra point all got into his head, and I don't think he's real comfortable with the protection, maybe rushing things a bit, but yeah, that was this wacky sequence from the three-minute mark through overtime, five missed field goals. Not for the faint of heart, that's for sure.
Metrics do not love this Packers team as they've ripped off four consecutive. They get it done in weird fashion against Cincinnati over the weekend. You know, it's not about analytics, I get that, but what is it about this team? They're winning football games, but I guess, at least according to some people, not doing in the fashion, oh, here they go, they're 4-1 again. It's the Packers being the Packers, yet some numbers don't match up. Where are you with this team when you kind of see some of those numbers?
Yeah, a couple things. Every team has injuries they're dealing with, no question. The Packers are playing without four of their best eight players right now. You take half of your top eight players on most teams, you're going to struggle. No Jair Alexander, no Za'Darius Smith on defense, and their top two offensive linemen in Bakhtiari and Elgton Jenkins. So you're losing something when four all-pro type players are missing from your team. That's number one. Number two for me is just something that was a strength last year has been a real weakness this year. That's red zone, both sides of the ball. Green Bay settled for field goals against Cincinnati, got really conservative. Once they got even inside the 10-yard line, it was run, incompletion, field goal. And that was just the opposite of how Matt LaFleur called games in the red zone last year. They called it the gold zone because they were so prolific and productive in the red zone. So that's been a problem. And defensively, They're the only team in football that's allowed touchdowns every time a team has reached the red zone this year, 13 for 13. That's hard to do, especially if you call yourself a Super Bowl contender. So I think for me, that's why they don't look quite right yet, because they're getting down to the goal line and really struggling on both sides of the ball. But there's lots to like about a lot of young guys that have stepped up, and Rodgers still playing at the level that, you know, you hoped he would. So they're in a period of their schedule, a couple games, Bears and Washington, where they should be able to handle things, and then things get a whole lot tougher, and they'll hope to get some guys back by that time.
Yeah, including those back-to-back roadies. Arizona is one of them, Chiefs the other one, I think.
Yes, boy.
It was end October, begin November. I want to ask you about those two guys on defense, Smith and Alexander. You know my love for Jair Alexander. He's one of the best corners in the league. Did they designate them to return this year, or what are the status with Smith and Alexander? May we see them?
It sounds like it's really unlikely we're going to see Za'Darius Smith with the back surgery that they really waited a long time. There's some weird stuff going on between him and the organization. He was hoping for a new deal, even though he had a couple years left. And then he was not designated captain by his teammates, and he reacted kind of snarkily on Twitter. So I just think things aren't going real well, unfortunately. I don't think Za'Darius comes back. And Jair, we'll know in a couple of weeks. They're hoping that shoulder calms down and they see signs of healing and that they can just rest him and he'll be able to come back. But there's still a strong possibility that they'll look at that shoulder in a couple of weeks and shut him down for the season. So we're kind of holding our breath because, as I've said here on the radio in the Twin Cities, there's no doubt in my mind Green Bay is going to win the NFC North, winner without Jair Alexander. But I don't think they get to a Super Bowl without him. I don't think they shut down Cowboys, Buccaneers, any of the top NFC teams in those passing attacks without their shutdown corner. So that's a real big development and something that I think we'll know in the next two or three weeks where that sits.
Kind of out of nowhere, Devondre Campbell. Saw a story with him, I think it was in the Post-Gazette up in Green Bay, just talking about where he's come from, what he did, former Golden Gopher that hung around, looked like he might be out of a job, and here he is, playing at a very high level there at the linebacker spot for the Packers.
Yeah, he had a solid season in Arizona a year ago. You know, he's got things you like. He's tall, he's fast, and he doesn't miss games, yet he's been kind of a journeyman his first 3 or 4 years. And when Green Bay signed him, it was just like, well, here we go again. You know, ignore the speedy, athletic inside linebacker in the draft and just find a guy off the street and hope he can do something. Well, this time it sounds like, looks like, they finally have hit gold because he's been just fantastic. I mean, he passes the eye test. If you just watch a game, you see him around the ball all the time. You know, Chris Barnes is the other inside linebacker who was undrafted out of UCLA, who really looked good last year but just couldn't stay on the field. And that's been his issue again this year. When he's out there like he was Sunday, Chris Barnes can be a difference maker alongside Campbell, but he just hasn't been able to stay healthy, which I think was one reason Green Bay looked at Jalen Smith, to make sure they had two guys healthy at all times. But it starts with Campbell. You know, he's got the communications device in his helmet. He's running that defense. And he's been the real reason that I think that side of the ball has gotten better and better. I was so disgusted when I went to that Lions game on Monday night, how bad that defense looked in the first half. But they've continued to get better. And I'm really kind of excited about where this defense might be. And it starts with guys like Campbell, who they just kind of found off the street, and it looks like he's found a home.
Last thing for you, Dave Sinekin. Dave Sinekin, theheadcheese.com. For you Packer fans, you can hear him on the radio both Saturday and Sunday morning. Sunday morning, Packer preview. The Bears, I really like their defense. I like to watch them because I like to see the development of Justin Fields offensively, and they got a couple of young receivers. Mooney looks good, and I think this Komet's starting to come into his own as well. How do you see this game, Dave? Kind of give us a 1 minute breakdown and what we might see on Sunday.
Well, we know it's the NFL's oldest rivalry, and it's always a great game when the Packers and Bears play. It's usually a Packers victory as well. They're 19-3 their last 22 games against the Bears. Aaron Rodgers just flat does not lose in Soldier Field. So I expect, with Chicago's offense where it's sitting, David Montgomery unlikely to play. Justin Fields, a project who I think has a terrific future if he gets a real coach in there to help him develop, but he's not in a place right now where he's going to battle Aaron Rodgers. Yes, Chicago's defense is very good, but the Packers know it well, and they know how to attack it, It feels like a Randall Cobb kind of day. He's had great moments at Soldier Field. You have to believe that the Bears are going to do everything they can to take Devontae Adams out of the game, unlike what Cincinnati did last week. And if they do that, there should be some opportunities. Valdez-Scantling's still out, one more game on IR. That does change how teams could defend Green Bay because there's no deep threat that they have to worry about, keep a safety back there. So I think Green Bay is going to use that quick passing attack to not worry too much about the Bears' pass rush because Green Bay is playing a very makeshift offensive line right now, but they've handled three really tough fronts the last 3 weeks, in San Francisco and Pittsburgh and Cincinnati, and they've held their own. So I expect Rodgers to cook like he does at Soldier Field and the Packers to take care of business.
Dave Sinekin, theheadcheese.com, KFAN Saturday and Sunday morning up in the Twin Cities. Packer preview this week, 7 or 8 a.m.?
We're back to 7. Now, we got a nice reprieve last week with the Gophers bye week, but we're back at our unusually early, unfortunate time on 7 o'clock the rest of the way.
Good stuff. Thank you, Dave Sinekin. Talk to you next week. Appreciate it.
Sounds good, guys. See ya. Yep,
take care. Dave Sinekin, headcheese.com. Nick Athan on the Chiefs. He's next. 1460 KXNO 106. Hi, Miller and Condon. Welcome back. About 10 minutes before the hour of 11, 1460 KXNO, 106.3 FM, 11 o'clock hour, Matt Snyder, CBSSports.com on MLB, 11:30, Matt Poston's Heartland College Sports on the Big 12 right now. Nick Athan, PrimetimeSportsTalk.com. He joins us to talk about those, this can't be right, 2-3 Kansas City Chiefs. What's going on, Nick Athan? How are you?
Hey guys, how you doing? All good.
I don't know if it is or it isn't with this. Look, here's the good news: Washington, Tennessee, and the Giants the next three, so they should be able to, put some wins up. But will that be kind of clouding what ails this defense? Because they're not going up against potent offenses, maybe with the exception of Tennessee. Because this defense, Nick, certainly got some warts, and you've been all over that most of the season. Can anything be done to change that?
I don't know if it's more. I think it's more potholes than anything else, and there's a lot of them consecutively lined up across the field. But it isn't like they're going to be able to trade for a player because there's a couple of things. One, they don't have the cap space unless they extend Matthew or they extend Hill, where they're only two options. Then they'll create some cap space. But if the Chiefs' season tanks, their draft slot is going to be, 17 to 21. And, I don't think Beach would be very smart, in my view, to trade, that pick, first-round pick, if he wants to get a top-tier talent. Now, there's going to be a lot of fire sales, so that can do that. But on the field, it's pretty simple. You put Sorensen on the bench. You put Thornhill out there. You play Baker more. I think the Hughes experiment is pretty much over. He just doesn't understand this defense. Get Chris Jones back. Somebody light a firecracker underneath Frank Clark and quit making excuses and go out there and play football like he's getting paid to. And, same with Jared Reed. It's interesting. The Chiefs are four turnovers away from being undefeated. The Ravens are, a few turnovers and some weird circumstances of being 0-5. So, you just never can figure out the NFL, but this is not going to be fixed this season. They may get better. Maybe this is the team of 2 years ago where the second half of the season, when they did have a lighter schedule, they started playing really good defense. That's about all we can hope for right now.
Nick, it seems like everyone's just pointing at Daniel Sorensen, but one guy doesn't make a defense here. He's had mistakes, and he had a couple of big ones on Sunday right. night here, but this is a bigger issue than replace Daniel Sorensen and everything will at least get better. What else, outside of Sorensen's awfulness, what else do you see as some of the big issues with this D?
Well, like I said, I think the biggest issue with the liability with Hughes at corner, Fenton played great. That's the best football I've ever seen him play, through four quarters. So, he could replace Ward. They kept Ward, who's kind of struggled this year as well, just because they didn't know what else they had on some of the new guys. Baker has yet to really develop, but he needs more playing time because I think he's their really good. Snead has to play like he played last year. That's hurting him too. And then the linebacker play, I mean, Willie Gay got in there, and the defense was a little bit better in the second half, outside of some gaps, you know, with gap assignments and tackling. You know, he made a difference on the field. So they just have to get more of a push. I mean, the front four is not going to sack the quarterback, so they're going to have to bring blitzes, and they're going to have to be active with their linebackers, and they're going to have to bring corners and safety. And, you know, guys like Matthew have to take a direct line to the quarterback instead of bouncing at the line of scrimmage. I mean, there's a lot of little things. If they fixed half of them, if this defense was like 25th in the league, you know, that's enough. That's all it has to be, which is a pretty low bar. But honestly, you know, the coaching staff has got to stop, and I've said this before and I'll say it again, as I mentioned my former good buddy Bob Sutton until he was driven out of town, you can't fit square pegs and round holes in the defense. You can't play guys because you like them or you think they understand the defense better than the other guy who's better. Somehow that's gotten lost with Steve Spagnuolo. I don't understand it. I'm sure that's going to change because, you know, Hughes was the first step. Sorensen needs to be next. But Willie Gay's got to be on the field, too.
You know, if there is maybe a silver lining in all of this, it's not like they've had an easy schedule. They've played the who's who of the AFC. I mean, they beat the Browns, who absolutely are a playoff team. They lost to the Ravens, who looked really good last night. The Chargers picked them off, and the Bills got them on Sunday night. So this is the who's who, the upper echelon of the AFC that they've measured themselves against. You know, I want to go to the offense, and Trent brought him up a couple of weeks ago. Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I mean, he had 13 yards. Is that all he had the other day? And it's not like they're overworking him by any means. What's going on there, Nick?
You know, they're frustrated with him. You know, he's not running like he did a year ago. He's running with his head down. He's not looking at the holes. I mean, if we had a faster running back or a Kareem Hunt type with some of these lines, these holes that have opened up, you know, you'd be talking about probably about a 500, 600-yard rusher already. They are talking to the Colts about Marlon Mack. He is he's on the trade box. The Chiefs are one of those teams that are, I will say, very interested at this stage. If it happens, I would expect it would happen today before the team gets back for practice tomorrow. Clyde Edwards-Helaire with an MCL strain. The problem is he's not cutting back. He's not doing anything that he did at LSU. And he's not a feature back. And the Chiefs, again, this is a square peg in a round hole. This is a guy who can come in at third down. They're not even utilizing in passing situations as they should. So I think it's a lack of confidence by the Chiefs, the lack of confidence with the player. And again, this might not be the right scheme, you know, for his talents at the moment until he starts doing some of the other things that he knows he can do. And right now, he ain't going to be doing anything for at least 4 to 6 weeks.
Patrick Mahomes is great. This is not a rip Patrick Mahomes conversation, but some of the tendencies, some of the concerns at Texas Tech when the defense was god-awful and he had to try to do everything, maybe creeping in here a little bit. Is that at least a fair thought to have, that some of those bad mistakes that he made in the past back when he was in college and the knocks that came along with it, could they be creeping back in here because of the defensive issues?
Oh, they're absolutely at the forefront. I mean, they're at the complete forefront of the troubles with this offense. You can get around the tackle. Both tackles not playing great in passing situations. You can get around the receivers running the wrong routes. You can't get around the fact that Patrick Mahomes is in the same spot right now that he was in college. And it's a bad spot to be in. It's a bad spot to be in because he does things that, you know, he can't do. Like the 4th-and-5 play, I think when he tried to force the ball to Kelce, you know, he had McKinnon wide open in the flat, would have been an easy first down. And he looked at him, and he still threw it to Kelce in triple coverage. He's just not making the good decisions because he does feel he has to be perfect. He knows going into every single drive, he has to score 7 points because his defense is so woeful. And the amount of pressure that's on him, not just the team pressure, you got the fan base, you've got everybody who is – put this kid in on a pedestal to be the next Tom Brady. Well, he's not the next Tom Brady yet. He hasn't proven he could be the Tom Brady yet. Now, he may this year with a bad start and they have to win 3 on the road and they win a Super Bowl. Yeah, then we can have that conversation. At some point, the Chiefs are going to have to win a road playoff game to advance. And this is probably going to be that year. But for right now, this is the biggest concern I've had for this football team. When they didn't spend the right draft capital on defense, they didn't buy the right players, they gambled and lost, and it's coming back to haunt them. They spent all that money on the offensive line, And Mahomes knows, okay, I've got to be great. I've got to be special. I've got to make plays every single time I throw the ball, and his footwork is off, his arm angles are off, everything right now, he's not running when he can. It's just out of sync completely, and it does fall on Patrick to fix, and he can fix it, and he will fix it, I have no doubt, but he has to take the pressure off himself, or Andy has to do it. And they're going to have to be a little bit more creative offensively because they were flat from a creativity standpoint. We didn't see any reverses. We didn't see any end arounds. We didn't see any, you know, wide receiver runs. You know, you put Tyreek in the backfield, maybe you do that more often just to get him touches. So, I mean, there are things that they can do, but for right now, Patrick Mahomes is his own worst enemy. And he's got to change the way he plays on Sunday.
Our Chiefs conversation all season long brought to you by Graphite Construction Group. Nick, we will talk to you next week. Thank you for coming on. PrimetimeSportsTalk.com. PrimetimeSportsTalk.com for Nick. Thank you, buddy.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me. Yeah, I appreciate
it. Good to talk to you. Nick Athan on the Kansas City Chiefs. Baseball conversation kicks off hour number two. Matt Poston's on the Big 12. We're here until noon, 1460 and 106.3 FM.